Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, Monday, November 3rd, 2025. First Monday in the month of November. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Want to get right into a lot of our housekeeping here, a lot of stuff to cover here this morning. Then we'll take some phone calls. Do want to remind everybody, the Lee Street Presbyterian Church's annual bazaar at 455 Lee Street here in Marion will be going on this Saturday, November the 8th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lunch served from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A large selection of baked goods, homemade candies, popcorn balls, decorations, gifts, crafts, and miscellaneous items will be for sale. I can hear Christmas coming at this particular point. The lunch menu, shredded chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, chili, vegetable and chicken noodle soup, desserts and beverages. Come and enjoy. Thank you for your support. That's the annual Lee Street Presbyterian Church's Holiday Bazaar, 455 Lee Street here in Marion, this coming Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That is November the 8th. Lunch served from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Now, got that out of the way. Now, I want to get into this. Now, this morning, and I've complained about this before, but apparently my complaint is not going anywhere. And by the way, isn't it nice now that the time change has happened and we have daylight in the morning? Isn't that nice? Now, here's the thing. Okay. Now, I drive down pretty much the entire distance of Route 95 every morning to get here to the station. I drive from Meyer to the Boulevard. So, Marion Mount Gilead Road, that portion of Route 95. So, that being said, the early voting sign was coming down today. You know, they have the banner there right before Vernon Heights Boulevard that hangs up on the sign. Hangs up on the string or the wire or whatever they have up there, the banner that hangs above the road. Now, this morning, I'm driving down Route 95, beautiful morning, crisp air, sunny skies, and they have got all of these orange cones across the street there under this sign. So at first glance, I think, oh no, maybe there's an accident there this morning. And I get up there, and no, what's happening is they're taking down the early voting sign, and I'm not sure what sign goes up after early voting. We hadn't got that far this morning. But they were taking down the early voting sign. Now, I understand they have to do this. I totally understand that. But I don't know why they do it at 7:15 to 7:30 in the morning on a Monday, when people are going to work. I would think that would be a busy time on Route 95. Now, I understand it's busy on Route 95 a lot. But if you got there maybe like 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock, I don't know how early these guys start. And I don't know how long it takes to take down a sign. But, you know, 7 to probably 9 is drive time on Route 95. You know, that's your morning commute to work. Why would you pick this time to take down that sign or any sign in the middle of the street? I mean, maybe in the afternoon, like 10 o'clock in the morning, might not be so bad. Or 6 o'clock in the evening, 7 o'clock in the evening. I don't know. Maybe it has to be daylight to take down these signs. I'm not sure, and I'm not necessarily knocking the people who are doing this work, because I think they do good work. But I don't know why this sign has to come down at this particular time, because it does kind of bottleneck the traffic there on 95 when they're doing it at 7:15, 7:30 in the morning. Now, this morning, I do have to admit, traffic was moving pretty good, so it was not a big kerfluffle this morning. But somebody should look at this. Somebody should just try to get this fixed so it's more expeditable for people who are driving to work in the morning. So that's my little complaint to open up the morning. And I'm glad they do the work, and I'm glad it gets done, and I'm glad they're efficient and all that sort of thing. But I think it's just a bad time at 7:15 to 7:30 on a Monday morning. You know, maybe even a Wednesday morning we'd be a little more tolerable of these sort of things. So that's the first thing this morning. Now, that's the bad news. Now, the good news is I came into the building this morning, and I now realize that opening up right next door to us here in this building is a business. As I've told you, they've been doing work. You know, we had some pictures fall off the wall, and we had some electricity lost in the studio. And because they've been doing some renovations to the suite next to us. But I've never really been here when they're doing those renovations, so I was not sure what is coming. Now, I do know they were doing some painting, because I can smell that this morning, but that's okay. You know, they're sprucing up the studio. That's a good thing. Or their studio, their office. It's a spray tan business. The sign is up this morning. It is a spray tan business. Now, this is kind of interesting because I have talked so much on this show about so many people of a certain age getting into spray tans and Botox and all of that sort of thing. Well, now I'm thinking every morning as I come into this building and get ready to do this show, I can go get a spray tan and, you know, I'll look perfect. Now all the time. So as soon as this business opens, I don't think it's open yet, but as soon as it opens, I'm going to get these people in here as guests, because I think that this is something that I might get into, because I've rallied against it for a long time, but now I think I'm just going to join the crowd. I think I'm going to become a follower in this whole thing, and I'm going to get a spray tan. And that way, it'll take care of any blemishes on the skin, and I'll look like, you know, I just got back from Florida. And in the winter, that's what you want. You know, I just got back from Florida. I'm all tanned up, and here we go. So this is interesting. We'll have a spray tan business next door. I like that. Okay, another thing. Yesterday, well, first of all, I have not taken down the Halloween decorations in the studio yet, so it still looks like Halloween in the studio. But I was given, I don't know how tall this mummy is. It's a balloon with helium in it. This mummy must be close to 5 foot tall. May even be a little taller. But it's in the studio now. And we did not have this during our Halloween show. So now I have this mummy in the studio. And this mummy has orange Chuck Taylors on. Tennis shoes, long white legs, he's holding a pumpkin, or she is holding a pumpkin, I really don't know, and his eyes are popping out of this balloon. So we now have a mummy in the studio, and I am going to, I guess, just decide at this point, this might be my new co-host. What should the mummy's name be? What do you think? What should the mummy's name be? We're going to have to name the mummy here in the WGH studio, because even when I get the Halloween decorations down, I think I'm going to leave the mummy up for as long as he or she has air. But we've got to give this mummy a name. Hey, maybe it's Warren G. Harding. You know, he's been in the ground quite a while, so maybe it's Warren Harding here in the studio. Okay, that's the mummy in the studio. Friday night, I want to thank the Industrial Channel and Terry Klein for buying the candy and the pretzels and the cheese balls that we gave to the kids on Friday night. We had a great time doing that. It was not bad weather at all for Halloween. Now, we do have some candy and pretzels and cheese balls and things like that left over, so we'll be giving that away in spurts over the next few days. We'll probably start that after the election. But we have it here in the studio. We have the candy. We have the food. We have the cheese balls. We have all that here. So we're going to do giveaways. But I do want to thank the Industrial Channel and Terry Klein for coming out here on Friday night. We had lights that were blinking. We saw some great kids dressed as SpongeBob and ghouls and all kinds of different things. So we had a lot of fun on Halloween, and I hope you had a lot of fun on Halloween as well. Now, let's see, what else is there here? Oh, I wanted to talk about driving in Columbus this past week. I went down to Columbus on, it's down, isn't it? Yeah, I went down to Columbus on Saturday. And as many of you know, I am not the person who likes to do a lot of driving. I don't know, I don't have a fear of driving, but driving just bores me for whatever reason. But Saturday, I drove. And I'll tell you, I had an okay time driving. The sky was beautiful. It was orange. It was, you know, that fallish autumn weather. The temperatures were probably in the 50s, so it was kind of cool. I stopped and got a drink here and got a little food here and visited the place that I needed to visit in Columbus and had a good time doing that. And was coming back as it was getting dark. It was just a fun time. So I've got to admit that I did drive to Columbus this past weekend, and I did enjoy the trip. So put that on the checkerboard here this morning. Okay, what else to mention? Well, we've got elections coming up tomorrow. I can't believe this is election eve. We will have election coverage here on WGH Talk starting at 7:15 p.m. tomorrow night, and we'll go through all the election results. That'll be a lot of fun, as we always do. We'll see how that all shakes out. City Council committee meetings tonight. It should be an interesting night, 6:30 at City Hall, with everything that's going down in the past week. With the loss of the transit director, two other directors resigning or retiring in the last month. Will people have questions about this? Will they follow up with any questions from the auditor of state, the letter that was sent down last Monday? We don't know yet, but that all goes on tonight. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
As always.
Yes.
So what's new at the zoo?
What you want to name the mummy?
Well, yeah, I've got to name this big mummy because I, with the helium and it not being a latex balloon, I think it'll be around a while.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a lingering effect of Halloween. Oh, I'd like to christen the mummy Robert Landon.
Oh, I don't... Robert Landon on your mind this morning?
Just the election, that's all.
See, I'll get...
I'm wondering how many people will be suckered in to electing him again, you know?
Well, here's the thing I would like to say. I'll get blamed for bringing this up this morning, and I would like to go on record that I said nothing this morning that had to do with Robert Landon. He was not on my mind, and I did not bring him up. So
that is correct. So, if anybody says anything contrary to that, I will make sure that they are surgically sewn to Nancy Pelosi.
Well, there you go. So your worry is that Robert Landon could be elected to this charter committee?
I am, along with some other people of questionable standing, let's say. You know.
So who are the
big
worries?
Surprised. I would like to say this. Thank you, Marion Starr. But it's probably too late. They actually published my letter to the editor that I sent in well over 5 weeks ago, if not 6 weeks ago.
Oh, good. Good.
So, you know, I don't know how big the readership is, but hopefully that'll have some effect on the outcome.
And, well, maybe they were holding it before the election, just till days before the election.
Maybe, but, you know... I think it's really serious enough to have put it in a couple times. But then, how many people subscribe to the paper is the other question. So, we have a media, what do they call that? Media insecurity. There we go. There's food insecurity. Now we have media insecurity in Marion.
Now, what do you mean by media insecurity?
Oh, by the same token, they said, well, there's food insecurity. You know, there's no food here. All of those kinds of things. How do we communicate to the public at large anything that's of import to the community at large? There's no longer a platform. It's difficult. I don't know what WMRN does anymore, or any other station in that. The media, we just have media insecurity.
Well, it's unfortunate that things have turned out the way they have with the media, but we're still here, and people do listen to this. And you know funny thing?
Hopefully you can build and grow your listening audience.
Well, I'll tell you, though, to be perfectly honest with you, from somebody who was at WMRN when people would have considered it the heyday before internet and so on and so forth, you know, you never really were sure what kind of audience you reached. It's not like people came up to you in the street and said, hey, we heard that, or hey, we like that. It's about the same as it always was. I don't know, you're never going to cover everybody, and the problem
the issue is the fact that it was a broadcast station that reached beyond Marion County, so everybody in Marion County could depend on tuning in to see what's happening. That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, they could. They could, but in those days, the problem was WMRN did not really cover. We cover politics far more seriously than they ever did. The Jeff Ruth show did not do politics, and that was the drive. Drive time show every morning.
Well, there was news. And well, the fact that everyone could just turn on a radio and pick it up whenever they wanted. That's the coverage I'm talking about, not the topical subjects.
But wouldn't you say more people have phones and internet than have radios now?
Most likely.
Right, so I think it's the same thing. But like I said, if you like that type of program, you probably listened. If you didn't, you didn't. And I can't remember how many years ago it's been now. Ben Lanka, who was the editor of the Marion Star at the time, which has probably been 7 or 8 years ago now, told me when the Marion Star went digital that they were able to track the amount of time that people spent on articles. And even 7 or 8 years ago, when the Star was still doing pretty well and had reporters and had people who took the paper at their home, online, which is where most people got their content, the average time spent on an article wasn't even 30 seconds. So how much were they reading? They were reading the headline.
Well, most people, when you take a look at some of the periodicals, a lot of them, beginning in late 70s, early 80s, the contents dwindled. There were more pictures and just captions and not in-depth information the way it used to be. So, and even now, you get sound bites, you get little snippets. You really have to dig around to find out what the hell somebody's talking about, etc. Everything is pandering to the lowest denominator. And what do I mean by that? The majority of people who could give a damn. All they want to do is grab your attention for a moment, count clicks on the website, and take your demographic. And that's pretty much it.
Well, but you know what's interesting? It varies on what people want to hear. Now, for example, the interview with Amy Acton did very well. But I would venture to say that the interview with, let's say, the Haunted Ohio person did not do as well. And that's just the makeup of the audience. I think the interview with Jason Schaber did very well. The interview with Ken Halloran, probably not as well, because of the subject matter and the notoriety of the name. So it's just like any television or radio outlet. Some, if it's something people want to hear, they'll listen. And if it's something that's not as interesting to them, they're probably not going to listen. But you're always going to have your steady group that is there every morning. Now, the morning I had on, I'm trying to think of an interview. Oh, the morning we did the thing on the kids in Caledonia, that went through the roof. I mean, that was... I couldn't even tell you how many people in the end heard that. So it's
what
just
was that
very
story?
The kids in Caledonia. The mother had the accident and drove into the lake, and two of the kids, I believe, were.
That's been what, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, but we had the interview I think last year, and that thing. Well, I think everybody listened to that. So it's never steady. Is what election night tomorrow? We'll have a good audience. Fruitcake toss, we'll have a good audience. Sometimes on these mornings where we're talking current events, we have a good audience because people want to hear that. But if we do an interview with, somebody talking about a bake sale, well, people probably not as big an audience, but you never know.
You know, with your fruitcake toss?
Yeah.
You could have a new version of that. Fruitcake hole toss.
Fruitcake hole toss.
Isn't that what they call cornhole?
The fruitcake toss is going so well. I don't want to mess around with that. But I do want to say something.
You would have one that you would be able to throw it as far as you can, but then the other takes a little more skill to toss it into one like one of those cornhole things, only for fruitcake.
But I do want to make a point here, and I should have looked the author up this morning, but I didn't know we'd be having this conversation. When I was in college, I took a lot of sociology classes because that interested me, sociology and psychology. So even though those weren't my majors, if I got an elective, I would usually take a sociology or a psychology class. And in one of my psychology classes, taught by Linda Mulligan, who I don't think is there anymore, she gave us a book, and the whole quarter was about this book. And the book was called The Way We Never Were. And the book was basically about the 1950s and how the version of the 1950s on television of people not locking their door and dad going off to work in a suit and a tie and mom staying home with an apron on and kids not getting in any trouble and there not being any crime, that never existed. That was a creation of television. That was a creation of the stuff we saw, but that wasn't what was going on in neighborhoods. And interestingly enough, I think we have a new version of that now. I think people say, well, we've got no media. Okay. Well, I was in the media when it was still in its heyday. Star had a lot of reporters. WMRN had reporters and was broadcasting live every day. If you did a story nobody wanted to hear, people didn't listen. People were not all that versed in politics, and I would venture to guess more people vote now than voted then. And more people know about the local issues now than they knew about then. And it's because the internet has a wider access to people. To people who did not listen to I never listened to the radio before I was on it. I did not spend a whole lot of time on the Marion Star. And I think that's, people always say, well, the media is not what it used to be. Well, I think more people get news than ever did before. But we believe that it was a different way. Look at the voting numbers from that era. I remember when Kellogg had elections and Schertzer ran against Phil Reed. People in this town were not highly interested in those elections. They did not have huge turnouts. Nothing has really changed as far as that goes. If you're interested, you pay attention. If you're not interested, you don't pay attention. The difference, though, is that we're much more misinformed now because of things that people put on the internet. But you know what? I think we'd be misinformed even if there were these broadcast stations, because people just put misinformation out. We didn't used to have that.
Well, there would be a little less bias if you didn't have competing news organizations that are trying to persuade advertisers, hey, we've got all these people listening, so this is what we charge, $2,000 per spot. That's what it's going to cost.
Yeah, but it's even come to the
people. We've got so many people watching the Super Bowl. It's going to cost you $1 million for that 1 30-second spot.
Yeah, but it's even
the sad thing. The sad thing is these people doing the advertising, it doesn't necessarily equate to sales, you know?
Well, it's just, I don't know. People can blame the media and say it's this and that. I think people are more informed now than they ever were, but also people are also more misinformed now than they ever were. So that's the way it goes, and unfortunately, here we are.
Well, all I can say is, ladies and gentlemen in the listening audience, please go vote. Hopefully, you've been able to analyze who deserves your vote. And for those of you who don't vote and say it's a protest vote, go vote. Go take a ballot and submit it blank. That way, you're honoring those who have made it possible for you to vote, those veterans who have given their all, those veterans who are still alive and around today, who may be missing a limb, missing a face. Honor them. Go vote. And if you want a protest vote, take that ballot, don't choose anything, and cast a blank ballot. But vote to honor them.
We shall see what happens
tomorrow.
Thank you. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I should say Trish is out there listening this morning. Now, she says we should name our mummy Florence. Maybe after the late great First Lady of Marion, Florence Harding. Maybe that's where Florence is coming from. We might name our mummy Florence. How about that? I'm sure she would appreciate that wherever Florence Harding is these days. But again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any thoughts on any of these subjects we've got going here this morning? Blocking off 95 to take down the early voting sign. Let's go to the phones here and see where we are this morning. Go ahead, caller.
I haven't had the great privilege to talk to you lately, Scott.
Yes, it's been a while. How you been?
Oh, fine. How about yourself? I don't hear too much about you. You're too busy with a lot of activities going on in the media today.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I'm flying under the radar.
But we don't hear any more about tear downs and put ups and stuff. I never heard anybody say they tore down a bank down in our end of town there, right across from, the Ford place, Matthew, spelled with one T. Do you know where I'm talking about? Have you been down there?
I do. I saw that last week when we were doing our taping, yeah.
Oh, man, I thought when I first seen it, Scott, I thought, man, something blew up or anything. They didn't take it all down at once, and somebody informed me that maybe the vault was still standing. Did you get Geraldo to come down there and see if there's any money in the vault?
I should have done that. Maybe he could have found some of Al Capone's money in the vault in that bank. No, I did see that torn down, and somebody asked me what was going to go there, and I said, I honestly have no idea. I mean, I'd heard the rumors of what was going on, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, well, I got a couple other things. Don't let me run you out of time here.
Oh, no problem.
The banks, my goodness, you know what? I kind of forgot because I've never been in the Marion County Bank there on the corner for a long time. Is that still operating where people walk in and out of that bank, or what is that? Marion, you know, the old Marion County Bank there.
Yeah, downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as I know, last I knew, they still were.
You know, I go down. I don't go down there that much, but I never see anything like that. You always seen somebody going in and out of there. But anyhow, banks, and you used to favor the bank over there. You took Mary Ellen over there and ate lunch with her in a vault one day over
yes.
in Green Camp.
Green Camp,
you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to work in that bank.
Yeah, that's right. You worked there. And National City Bank is gone completely. That's I don't know what's in that building, but I can't keep up with the teardowns and the up. That, but getting back to one they tore down, Scott, was that a bank to start with, or did they build a bank there from scratch?
Well, as far as I can remember, I think it was always a bank because I can't think of anything else that would have been on that spot.
Yeah, but I can't think. I can't even remember the bank. I didn't even know what was. I was dumbfounded. I said, "What was in there?" And I wasn't nobody I could ask. You know.
I think it was a Bank One, wasn't it?
I don't know, Scott. But I know one thing, and the real quick thing, I'll get out of here. But the things that's disappearing, and we talked about the time change. The time change went back years ago, and when the all the people. We called them bigwigs. They wanted to play golf longer, so give them a longer golf thing. Did you ever hear that phrase? That's why they changed the daylight savings time.
I had heard that and the farmers.
Okay. Well, I don't know about the farmer. I don't know what that have to do. They got big lights on there, and they do a lot of stuff at night and stuff, and, you know, if there's rain coming and stuff. But anyhow, and another thing, the golf courses, you don't – there's no golf courses and the bowling alleys. We had bowling alleys and golf courses all over the country. But I think the only golf course we got would be the country club. Isn't that correct?
Well, I think the one out in Pleasant is still open, I think.
Oh, yeah, the par 3 or something like that. I forgot about that
yeah.
one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one's still out there.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean the big time, the you know, the where there on Delaware Avenue. I used to, when I was in high school, we'd run cross country and practice on that Mardell golf course there. But anyhow, stuff disappearing and going up, I just thought I'd put that in there. And there was something else, but I talked myself out of it.
Well, I'll tell you about bowling. Bowling's kind of interesting because we've got Blue Fusion and we've got Cooper's Bowl out here on Delaware Avenue. And
now, wait a minute. Tell me about Cooper's Bowl. I never heard of that in my life.
Yeah, Cooper's Bowl is right there by the mall, or it's in the mall parking lot. It's where Southland Lanes used to be. And it's up and running and has been up and running for the last few years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It sits back of where Sears used to be. Sits back
yeah,
in there.
Right in there.
That's right.
And that's up and running. And I think the resurgence of bowling to some degree because of Blue Fusion and Cooper's Bowl is because a lot of the high schools now have bowling teams, and they didn't have those that many years ago.
Oh, have the school. Yeah, I do remember hearing that, but I don't hear much in the press about mostly football. So, hey, by the way, I called.
Oh, hey, Ted. Ted, Matt's messaging us this morning. He says, what about Kings Mill Golf Course?
Oh, yeah, down there at the old. You know, there's another thing. My goodness gracious, they put that beautiful covered bridge in there and stuff. But I never get in that off-the-beat path, and I used to go down there, love to go down there, and just go down over where the bridge is there and fish. But, you know, it's so, and I don't know if they improved it or not, if anybody complained about it or not, but it was kind of rugged going down there after it got older. You know, if you fell, you fell on some pretty good rocks and stuff. Just the entrance down there wasn't as good. But, oh, that used to be a wonderful fishing area right there. Yeah, Kingsmill, I forgot about that. If you've been to the bridge, when's the last time you looked at that covered bridge?
Probably a couple years ago.
Yeah, I wonder if they took a survey how many people just on the radio have went down and last time they focused their eyes on the cover. Of course, people live down there, you know, that go up and down there back and forth to work. I understand that. But, I mean, just off the beat like I... you know, I used to go down there. But anyhow, I'll let you go. Yeah, I was waiting for you. I thought, and I don't know how I got misled, it was in my own brain, that you was going to be on the air giving away candy. I was waiting for that, and I had you tuned in, and, man, I listened to you, and Carol said, what did they say about, did they have a good turnout for the candy? And, Carol, they never had it on there. I thought you guys were going to be live and have the people coming up and the kids coming up and hear you in. Introducing or asking their names or something like that.
Well, yeah, what happened was Terry had suggested that at one point that we do that, but the problem was I did not know how many lulls there would be in between times that we would have kids in that 2 hours, so I thought, well, maybe if we just take pictures of the kids, because it's hard to kind of describe their costumes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why it ended up that way. But, yeah, we had a lot of good trick-or-treaters, and I was surprised at the number. There really wasn't a popular costume. I guess that ghoul costume with the ghoul face and the black outfit was probably the most popular. But the kids were dressed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, SpongeBob. One was even dressed as a piece of pizza. It was nice.
Yeah, it was all pretty nice costumes. Yeah, nothing like you used to stick an old pillow if your mom and dad had there on the couches and go as a fat person, you know. And me being skinny, and I'd do that, and the neighbors, they played the game with you, you know. They knew who you was as soon as you opened out there, you know. Trick or treat, they heard your voice all the time, you know. They knew, but they played it up and got those big, large, extra-large Butterfingers and the Baby Ruth candy bars. Remember those candy bars, the big ones? I don't you had them in your younger day, didn't you?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, Butterfingers are my favorite. Now, hey, I got a question in regard to Halloween. What should we name our mummy in the studio?
Well, you know what? That would be very nice. It rhymes with mummy.
Mummy.
Dummy.
Dummy.
Yeah.
We call him Dummy?
Yeah, a dummy. He just stands there. He don't... well, you have some of them has a little bop. You ever see the ones that's battery-operated and their teeth go chop, 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 chop if you get up there? Something sets them off. You ever see any of those skeletons like that?
I have seen those. I'm just surprised this mummy has orange Chuck Taylor tennis shoes on.
Oh, Chuck Taylor.
Yeah.
Orange. Oh, I don't believe I've seen.
I didn't know mummies. How about me getting a spray tan every morning from our new neighbor here in the building?
Hey, you just brought that up. Now, thank you very much. And well, you know, I'm probably getting close. I'm in the other room. But how many cans of spray would it take you to get a tan?
Oh, I don't know. It could take a few, for all I know. I don't know.
Well, and did you go down around the Cervex Center? Did you ever get a massage there at the massage parlor?
No, but you know, I'll tell you, I can honestly say, put me on a lie detector, I never did. But I bet you most people who got massages down there would never admit to it.
Yeah, and I thought, well, that was a good thing, but they must have been doing something bad there other than getting a massage. Or what was a massage... What do you get in a massage like that? I thought around the neck and stuff like that, but there must have been illegal stuff going on there.
Yeah, I think they might have went a little below the neck. I don't know.
Oh, it was a cover-up, and it was, yeah, okay, I got you.
Yeah,
I thought maybe it was like that, but I didn't know for sure. How long was that operating there before? Maybe the cookie shop and the spaghetti shop and stuff, maybe that was a drawing thing where you've seen a lot of cars, and I thought maybe they're busy there, but that was maybe the massage parlor with all the activity.
It could have been. You know, honestly, I think they maybe were there for about a year is what I understood from the press release.
Okay, yeah, I heard that, and Carol said, what are they talking about there? And I said, well, they're at the Cervex Center. I said,
But I think it was, didn't it have to do with drugs, if I remember right? Wasn't that the
I really don't know. I really don't know. And I know tanning beds, have they got the tanning beds since you mentioned the tan spray today? Have they got many tanning beds around? I mean, I know you didn't frequent them. You always went out with your you're good body built and stuff, and flex your arms and stuff like that, and you got a tan in the daytime, you'd walk around in the daytime and at night too.
I certainly did.
Moonlight night, didn't you? You'd go out on a moonlight night to get a tan.
Oh, I'd be like a neon light out there in the dark.
Have a good one, bye.
Hey, good talking with you. Bye bye. Always good to hear from Ted and Carol Jolliffe out there in the Pleasant area. It's good to have fun conversations like that. Phone lines are open 56 and a half minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Our mummy is looking pretty good here. Now, apparently, well, we'll get back to this in a second. We got a lot of good calls coming in here. Go ahead, caller.
Just to let Ted know that place there at the Cervix Center, they did have story hour. Now, when you would go in with story hour during those times, and I don't know which times they were, you'd always get a story with a happy ending.
Is that, what was the story? I mean, was it drugs, or was it?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think there was some inappropriate stuff going. Were drugs a part of it? Maybe I'm out in left field on that. I know there was inappropriate activity going on there. Let's put it that way.
Well, I have no idea. I was shocked when I heard about it. It was like all of a sudden, kaboom, and now it's gone, and we'll probably never get the whole story. So,
we do know that there was inappropriate activity. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, otherwise, they'd still be operable. So you're going to get the spray on tan.
Well, it's right next door. I think I've got to support my local businesses here. And, you know, now that it's next door, I can get it done before maybe I can get it done while I'm on the air. You never know.
Well, that'd be kind of hard. You got to go into the booth and everything. Now, what kind of a tan will you be getting? Will you kind of get the jammer tan or the Speedo tan?
Well, I think nobody wants to see that. So I think we're probably just going to have to go with the, what do? You get, like, the face, and you get the arms, and you get the legs. That's enough.
Well, they get the whole everything if you want.
No, I don't need the whole everything. I don't need to go, listen, I don't need to be in massage parlor territory. I can just, legs and arms and face.
You wear something. I mean, you know, you got to have some tan lines, so... but it's different for the girls. So are you thinking of going total orange like the president?
No. I want it to look like I actually have a tan.
Hmm.
Yeah. Now,
You're going to have to do that lightly over a very long period of time, because you would look kind of strange if you had a noticeable tan.
Well, here, by the way, if people are interested, to know about this parlor, authorities uncovered evidence of ongoing exploitation during a raid, alleging the guy they arrested, he was a courier for money and women, facilitating a network that subjected victims to involuntary servitude. So that's what was going on there.
Do they know what kind of nationality this man was?
I believe, it was a Chinese spa. But the guy was from Chicago. Ping, Peng, P-E-N-G.
Jeez, that in and of itself has one hell of a connotation. Me love you long time.
Well, and it was right up the road here, so there you go.
Yeah.
Well,
so
we'll see.
You go get a tan and go get donuts afterwards.
So just to be clear, no drugs that I'm aware of, but definitely some illegal activity going on.
Human trafficking, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Unbelievable.
Thanks.
Well, to a better tomorrow.
There we go. And we'll be back right after this. More conversation and lots more news this morning. Don't go anywhere.
My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant. And my wife said something funny.